forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's June 25th, 2012, and this is episode number 40. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I talk to firefighter Christine O'Connor. I caught up with Christine on her cell phone, and she kicked off by telling me how she came to be a firefighter.
I was an administrative assistant for many years before I decided to take the job. I was very unhappy and unfulfilled in my office job. I've had several of them. Unfortunately, I didn't finish college, so I kind of, you know, I knew that I didn't want to be a secretary for the rest of my life, but I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. The event that really changed it for me or made me realize what it was when September 11th happened. You know, I said, life is very short, and none of us know how long we're going to be here. And why am I going to spend another 12 years of my life unhappy? Or, you know, thank God it wasn't longer, but, you know, I feel like I wasted, like, 12 years of my life being secretary.
And what was it about firefighting that you felt would make you happy? What was the appeal when you first thought of it?
I guess really September 11th was, like, the biggest, I guess, like, eye-opener for me. I knew, actually, a fireman and a police officer that died that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually it might have been several months after it had happened. I was on my way to work, and I saw, actually, a poster on, like, a bus stop, and it was two firemen and a woman in between them. And my first reaction was, I thought, oh, it's a model, you know, like, they just grabbed somebody, and they put her in a uniform, and it's just, you know, a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out she was really a firefighter, and I don't know, something like clicked, and it was a recruitment poster, and I just was like, you know, I think I'm going to take the test. And once I decided to take the written test, it just, like, took off. Like, I just, that was all I thought about, and I was like, that's what I want to do. It was partly from, like, an emotional standpoint. I just was like, it's a helping profession. Everybody, like, looks up to firemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a good and noble profession. I was like, I think it's something that I would want to try.
Right.
And then, like, once I had gotten that idea in my head, I just, like, never let go of it. Like, and I never even saw failure as an option. Like, I've lived in New York my whole life. I've never seen a female firefighter. I didn't even know if they existed or not. I didn't even look into it. I just was like, this is what I want to do, and I'm not really, I never thought that it wasn't going to work out. I just, you know, and my family really wasn't even that supportive in the beginning.
I wanted to ask you about that, because do you have any firefighters among your relatives, or was this kind of an out-of-the-blue idea to them?
It's pretty much out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I have no one in my family on both sides that were in the fire department. And
so how did your family react?
Well, they thought I was crazy, because I was also taking a considerable pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting on the job a lot later, like, age-wise, than most candidates do. I was getting on, like, in my mid-30s, mm-hmm. and most guys get on at, like, 22, 23, 24.
Right.
So I was getting on very, very late in life, and they were concerned because I was taking a pay cut, and I lived on my own already, so I had my own bills and expenses that I had to take care of.
Right.
But it wasn't even a concern. I was just like, this is really where my heart is. Like, I really want to do this.
Interesting. And one thing I kind of wanted to dig in with you on is, what does it actually take to become a firefighter? What were the hoops that you had to jump through?
I mean, it's definitely a lengthy process, and it's a lot longer than I anticipated. Like, you take a written test, and then you get your scores a few weeks or months later. And then I had about 6 months to prepare for a physical test.
Mm-hmm.
And that test is, like, 8 events. And you have to pass at least, I think, 6 or 7 of them, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was 6. You have to have passed at least 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they compile your physical scores with your written scores, you get an average. And then they compile a list. And then they start calling people off the top of the list. And then you start to get investigated, and then there's paperwork involved. You have to also give, you also have to take a psychological written test. It took me years to get on. I took the written in 2002. I took the physical July of 2003, and I didn't get into the academy, the training academy, until August of 2007.
And tell me, the physical test, did you consider yourself an athlete kind of going into that? How hard was that for you?
Not at all. I was not an athlete by any stretch of the imagination. I never played sports in high school or college. I was never involved in sports. I started going to the gym, and I just basically spent a lot of hours every week at the gym, and I just kept going, and I was advised by firefighters to how to train, and I just really, like, took as much advice from them as I could, and I trained kind of the way they explained it to me, and I trained actually with other women that when we were taking our physical, there was a group of us, women that had taken the written test, so we all kind of trained together, and I don't think many women that I trained with passed. Like, currently right now, I think there's about 28 women on the job.
I read that, Christine, and I am just totally astounded. I came across this New York Times article that said there are about 10,000 firefighters in New York and only 28 are women, and honestly, I thought it was a typo, but it's not.
No, it's not. I mean, when I graduated, I was number 36, and then six more females graduated in the classes after me. But I know some women have retired. Mm-hmm. Some of, like, the real, you know, the women that got on years and years ago, 20 plus years ago, they've retired. So I think now, currently, it's about 28. Typically, a job that most women don't see themselves really doing or wanting to do, It's a shame because it is it's a wonderful, wonderful job, but you do have to work very, 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 very hard. I spend an enormous amount of time at the gym every week. I have to, because I'm very realistic. I'm a female. I'm not built like men are. I didn't want anybody to treat me differently, and I don't think any female should expect to be treated differently or be given different standards.
And how do your fellow firefighters treat you? Does it feel easy to sort of be part of the gang, or is it challenging sometimes?
It was definitely challenging, especially in the beginning. I'm the only female in my house. Luckily, they had women that have worked in my house before. So some of the guys that I work with are accustomed to working with a woman. So that, I think, made the transition easier. It's a job that's, like, very rich in tradition. It's grandfathers, fathers, sons, you know, and it's been like that for years. So for them to accept women, I still think it's a challenge today. But I definitely think they've come a long way from where they were 20 plus years ago, or even 15 years ago. The guys in my house, I absolutely love where I work. Like, I couldn't have gone to a better house. Like, I work in Queens. I work very, very close to Citi Field, where the Mets play. I think what helps, too, is I kind of went in with the attitude, like, you know, I don't want any special treatment, and please don't feel like you have to walk on eggshells when you're around me, like, because I didn't want, so I kind of went in with that attitude, like, please, like, I just want to be one of the guys, just, you know, don't treat me any differently. And it definitely took time. It wasn't an overnight thing. I'm kind of like one of them. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be one of them because I'm not a man. But I think I fit in better than I could have even expected to.
Right. So one question I had for you, in part because you went into this, as you say, without, you know, having family members or even without a huge amount of context, what's been the single biggest surprise for you about sort of the reality of the work versus what you were thinking it would be like?
It's so much material to know. Like, when you're in the training academy, you're studying constantly. It's essentially like boot camp. We learn about building construction and just the dynamics of fire. All the different tools that are used. Eventually, what happens is once you get out of the academy, you're assigned either to an engine company or a truck company. I was assigned to an engine company, we go in with the water. We have the hoses on the back of the engine. The truck, they go in and they do more of like the search and rescue. But when you graduate, you have to know every single position and what's expected of you and be able to, if needed, you know, you're expected to know and be able to perform all the different positions once you graduate.
How dangerous does the job feel? My sense of it is sort of risks at every turn, but how does it actually feel when you're doing it day to day?
I was a little concerned because, you know, when you choose to do something, but you never know, like, am I really going to, like, be able to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens is, and I have to admit, I haven't really been in that many situations. Which is another surprising thing. Like, you just kind of assume you're going to go to a fire every day, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the few things that I have been to, it goes out the window. Like, I really think your adrenaline kicks in,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of get, like, very serious, and it's like, you kind of start to focus on, like, you know you have to focus on what you're supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
that you don't even think about, oh, wow, I'm kind of running into a building that's on fire right now. Like, it's not really anything that, at least for me, has gone through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, what do I have to do? What's got to get done? How can we get this done as best and safely as possible? That factor really, I have to admit, has never really entered my mind.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Christine O'Connor. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.